This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com.
And I'm Michael Swain of Fog.net.
This is a replay of WIBW show The Drive.
Here's this week's episode on the 24/7 Sports Podcast Network.
Good evening, Wildcat and Jayhawk fans, and welcome to The Drive, sponsored by Briggs Auto Group. I am Tim Fitzgerald of GoPowerCat.com, and he is Michael Swain of Fog.net. And we're doing this before the Super Bowl, so we're not going to talk about the big game at all. Well, maybe a little. You can interact with us on social media at facebook.com/thedriveshow, on Twitter at thedrive13, and of course answer our weekly poll question and make your game predictions on our Twitter page. And remember, if you ever miss an episode of The Drive, you can listen to an audio-only version that will appear each Monday morning in the form of a podcast at both GoPowerCat and Fog.net. We start things off with our two-minute drill. The first segment of the two-minute drill is sponsored by Vanderbilt's Your Work Boot Center. What a week for the Kansas Jayhawks. Lose in overtime on Monday at K-State, then hold off Baylor at home on Saturday. Michael, the tests never seem to end in this conference.
They really don't, and I think KU gets kind of a C for this week. You look at the performance against K-State on Monday, it was everything that I think a lot of KU fans expected, right? A tough game on the road. The energy and intensity wasn't really there for KU, and that was a big key for the Jayhawks going into the game against Baylor. But then before the game, it's revealed that Kevin McCullough isn't really walking too well right now with the bone bruise he has in his knee. So he doesn't play. And as a result, KU has 7 scholarship players in a game against the number 13 team in the country. And so that puts, I think, this performance maybe into some perspective for KU, where it was not perfect, right? KU let multiple double-digit leads slip. The lack of killer instinct for KU, I think, continues to show up in this week for the Jayhawks, where in the first half, they're up by 13. Then the second half, they're up by 12. And in the end, it comes down to 2 final shots for Baylor to potentially tie the game. And those are the plays that left some sour taste in Bill Self's mouth postgame. He, I think, since the second title, has been pretty positive in a lot of postgame settings, not wanting to be negative, and that was not the case after this one, where he said it's probably the most upset he's been after a win in a long time, and some of that is because of the lack of execution his team had late in the game, where Nick Timberlake, I think, had maybe one of the worst 30-second stretches of basketball I've seen in a long time, and you saw part of it right there if you're watching on TV. He helps off a corner shooter, then on the final possession, he doesn't step up, and Baylor gets an attempt at a 3-point shot to tie the game. So for KU, I think some of the big picture issues, like the lack of, I think, late game execution, I think intensity and attention to detail, those are the things I'm still concerned about KU in the long term for this season. But look, on the other hand, KU just beat the number 13 team in the country with 7 scholarship players and down the most versatile guard. So this team continues to find ways to win really big games. It's just a question of, can they make it 2 in a row, 3 in a row? KU's not won 3 conference games in a row yet this year. That has to change if they're going to win the conference.
Correct me if I'm wrong, they're heading into a week with 2 road games, correct?
That they are. It's a big test up ahead.
That sure is.
All right, well, Kansas State got the big win over KU and then lost on Saturday night at BYU. Fitz, what does this K-State team need to do to get to the NCAA tournament? Just discussion.
Yeah, they're way out of it right now. And I know Jerome Tang has said 9-9 will get you in, but their inconsistent performances and how they've kind of measured up in the, you know, computer rankings, I'm not sure going 9-9 and losing in the first game in Kansas City gets you in. In fact, I think this team with its resume probably needs to pull off another big win. At the bottom line, Michael, they need to win the rest of their home games. That will get them to 9-9. And if they can steal a road game, then suddenly they're 10-8, despite these inefficiencies on the road. This is five straight road losses after that BYU game. They won their first one at West Virginia, and they've lost a home game. So they're kind of even keel. They've played one more road game than home game. This is their off week in the midweek. KU's already had one, apparently, and now K-State's got to catch up to it. They don't play again until Saturday, and they need to be very attentive to what they need to accomplish on Saturday because TCU's pretty good. And when they hit their high gear, they're really good. And, again, you have to defend your home court. This is a test pretty comparable to that Oklahoma team that came in and beat K-State in Manhattan. Take care of your business. Be more attention to some of the things you just said about KU in late game on Saturday. This is what K-State's doing in a lot of their road games, and they lose their attention to detail. They don't make the key plays down the stretch. In fact, K-State had BYU in a great position. They came from 17 down in the second half to get it to three with under a minute to go, and then they just give up a complete defensive breakdown with basically a free layup on the other end after BYU ran their offense for a while. It's those things. It's those things that continue to hold the team back. Crucial turnovers and bad times. But get to 9-9 and go win one in Kansas City, and I think you're in. And both of those things are easily attainable, not just because you win your home games, you get to 9-9, but the new bracket in Kansas City is pretty welcoming for six teams, three in particular, that might need to get a win to get into consideration. And we're going to talk about that right now.
Let's get to that topic, Fitz. I'm really interested in this. So the Big 12 race is a jumbled mess. But, Fitz, the real mess could be when the Big 12 tournament bracket and its new 14-team double bye setup gets split up. So, Fitz, explain to us how this works and the impact it could have.
This is wild, and this will, next year you'll have another game on that first day. But as of now, six teams would have to play a five-game schedule to win the title. It's crazy. So your four top teams will get a bye, and your four next teams will get a bye. But the four top teams get a double bye. So, yeah, you're going to have all these games early in the tournament with kind of the bottom portion of this conference. It's still pretty good teams that are going to have to play each other. If you're Kansas State or Oklahoma, I don't even know who else might be on the bubble at that point. You're almost at benefit to be a 7 seed or below, a 9 seed or below, and get one of those first round games and get in an extra victory. It's going to be interesting, Michael. It makes the tournament longer, makes it more difficult for bottom seeds to come up and win, particularly some good teams in this conference who might have to play on that first day. And if you're one of the top 4 seeds, how strange to sit around for 2 days and watch your opponents play, and then you get to take the court finally at the Sprint Center. It has a different name now, but I don't recognize it.
Fitz, I'm pumped for fans for this, I think, because think about the amount of times like a West Virginia team has come in and you play one game and there's some bad games on that day. Like, the conference is so deep, and then there's those great games now, I think, on kind of Tuesday and Wednesday that then lead into the later part of the week when some of those more elite teams, if you will, are playing. Like, this is going to be a great week of basketball in Kansas City, and it's not going to feel super short. I think there's a lot of people that are going to argue it's going to feel pretty long, and especially if fans are going to try and do as many days as possible. So I think this is going to be pretty big. I think it's going to have a lot of bearing on those tournament teams, especially those ones that are on the bubble, and I think it's all you can ask for a conference championship week.
Yep, I agree. Now, a quick look at your poll question results. The poll questions are brought to you by Midland Exteriors. Love the home you live in. Call today for a free estimate.
All right, last week's question was, the World Cup announced that Kansas City will host several games in 2026, including a quarterfinal. How much does this interest you? The answers here, they got a lot of words here. A lot. I'm a huge soccer fan, got 32% of the vote. Some, because it's in Kansas City, got 36%. I'll check on the scores, got 28, and soccer is awful. I don't know who those 4% of people are, but I do not want to be friends with you.
That's good. They don't deserve your friendship.
No.
This week's question is, how interested are you in college spring games? A, more football is great. B, I'll watch the game. C, I'll check the highlights. those games are meaningless. Vote on our Twitter page at TheDrive13. Michael, what's your vote again? Because it's interesting.
It's A plus D. More football is great. The games don't matter. And that will do it for this half of the two-minute drill. We'll be right back with more on KU and K-State here on The Drive.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to The Drive, fueled by BriggsAuto.com.
We are back and we continue our weekly two-minute drill. This segment of the two-minute drill is sponsored by Copeland Insurance Agency, part of your community for more than 60 years. Exciting things are happening for KU football, including playing home games in Arrowhead and more staff additions. Michael, fill me in.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, Fitz. So the Kansas City Chiefs are obviously playing the Super Bowl tonight.
What?
You look at who's going to be playing in Arrowhead Stadium next year, it's the Kansas Jayhawks. And I think that's a pretty cool opportunity for this football team and football program. Obviously, Arrowhead's a place that the KU program has played before. But the opportunity to play in an NFL stadium is not something that college kids get to do very often. In fact, it's not very common at all. KU has played in a baseball stadium and a college football stadium for its two bowl games, right? The NFL stadium part is really cool. One of the cool parts for fans is getting to watch games at Children's Mercy Park, getting to go to a soccer stadium and experiencing, I think, a much more intimate atmosphere for games that I think on paper are probably not going to be some of the most intense games KU will play in this season. So for the fans, I think it's really cool that there's these different opportunities, and season tickets are obviously now on sale for folks that were season ticket holders in the past. So I think it's a really cool opportunity to make the best out of a tough situation. Obviously, I think everyone would love to see KU play their games in Lawrence, but that opportunity is not happening because it would have such a great impact on the construction schedule. So KU's found another way around this. I think there's still some logistical things to be figured out in terms of parking, in terms of students. How do they get there? How do they get home safely? Those are big things that will be answered in the long term. And then in terms of some staff movement for KU, obviously we talked about the Jeff Grimes hire when that happened in December, but KU's also lost Jordan Peterson to Texas A&M. Peterson went to Texas A&M and was a key recruiter for Lance Leipold. And now Lance Leipold has found his replacement in DK McDonald, who comes from the Philadelphia Eagles. He was previously at Iowa State. He really fits the mold of what Lance Leipold wants on this staff, which is experienced coaches, guys that have a track record, and can, I think, demand a lot of respect from the players. And you look at someone that is going to walk into a pretty charismatic cornerback's room with Kobe Bryant, Melo Dotson. Those guys want to be coached. And what can DK McDonald say from the get-go? Hey, I know what it takes to get to the NFL. I just worked with NFL players. Listen to me, and we can get there. So overall, pretty exciting times and some good news going on for KU during basketball season.
And of interest to K-State fans, Sean Snyder was one and done at Kansas. He steps away from being a special teams analyst for the Jayhawks. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, starting his own, I believe, special teams camp. So a good start for him in a different part of football.
Yep.
Let's get to Kansas State football now, which is going to hold a spring game for the first time since before the pandemic. So Fitz, why will there be a spring game on April 13th this year?
Look, all I can say is I know Chris Klieman is like me, isn't a big fan of spring games. It's kind of a wasted practice. But this is what I think is going on. And I've actually asked no one about this because this kind of caught me off guard at first. The Kansas State schedule in 24 is really strange. And the fact that you got to keep in mind, you've got selected home games that you're targeting for recruiting weekends. Well, Kansas State plays Arizona to wrap up its non-conference schedule. That's not a Big 12 game. Of course, that is a non-conference game that might be played on Friday night. And I think it will be played on Friday night since they put that as an option. So that eliminates a recruiting weekend. Well, the first 8 weeks of the Big 12 schedule then offer K-State two byes, four road games, and two home games. K-State's in a 4-home-game season for the Big 12 schedule, and two of them will come in the final 3 weeks of the season when it's, you know, probably not ideal weather to be hosting recruits. You probably will do it. But this offers K-State an opportunity to have another recruiting weekend, and they're having a bunch of junior days leading up to this spring game, and I think also there's a layer of fundraising involved in here. For many years, K-State has had an in-person Cat Backers auction at Bramlage Coliseum to raise money for the athletic department, a significant amount of money. And they've done it digitally since the pandemic, and I'm not sure what the results are, but it's hard to believe that donors that are now bidding in their own home would have bid as high as much as when they're in a bunch of peer pressure with free cocktails. Let's be honest. I think they're doing a lot of things here with the spring game, and I don't know if this will be a permanent basis, but this is also a good sign that Kansas State has found a little bit more depth, because honestly, there was a couple years when they just couldn't have a spring game because they didn't have enough healthy bodies. The fact that they were going to have enough bodies for a spring game is a pretty cool concept, because that's a good sign for the season, but we'll see how many recruits come in on that day, because I have a feeling they will invite a lot. Well, now let's step out of bounds. And Out of Bounds is brought to you by Darris Corner Market. We love local. We are local for you. Today is Big Game Sunday, and we recorded early so we can watch. But the game was in Las Vegas. Michael, I did a series of videos this week at Go Power Cat about the Big 12 and Las Vegas and how I think they need to kind of adopt it. But what do you think the Big 12 should do to find more ways to be at home in Las Vegas?
Well, all I suspect you, Fitz, then, is this at the expense of having the Big 12 basketball tournament in Kansas City? Is this at the expense of having the Big 12 football title game in Dallas or Big 12 football media days in Dallas? Well, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, first of all, football media days is in Las Vegas this year because of some bad scheduling. We'll find out, you know, where it is. I found out this. It's not going to be at the Sphere, which I'm upset about. It was only a $2 million a day rental. So I think the Big 12 did wisely, chose not to do that. I don't know. I do see this from the new teams coming in. And the Big 12 veteran schools, so to speak, better brace themselves, because they've done what Texas always refused to do, was to give up the votes. They brought in 8 new schools, and that's half the conference. And some of these Western schools want to have that tournament in Vegas. Good news is Kansas City is the home for until 2027, Michael. But the one I want, now that the Big 12 needs more bowls and needs to freshen their bowls, I want that Las Vegas Bowl. I think that's a Big 12 bowl. And honestly, I think Las Vegas should have more than one bowl, and Big 12 should get its dirty little hands on both of them.
I'd be okay with that. I think you got to pick and choose, right? I think having like the Big 12 basketball tournament in Kansas City is really important. I think it's also a really good place to have it. But if you're talking about having some football postseason games there, I think you mentioned before, maybe a Big 12 kickoff game there in Las Vegas. I'm cool with more football games in Las Vegas, but let's try and keep, I think, basketball to Kansas City, because I think it's a really good host city for it.
Yep, I agree. I absolutely don't move the basketball games, and we'll find out what happens. Also, I've had a great idea presented to me, is to play a bunch of tip-off games. You know, we're going to see the one in Mexico with KU and Houston, but do Vegas and do some others, you know, Madison Square Garden. Move some games around the country and have a big celebration of Big 12 basketball coast to coast. I think that's pretty cool. Now let's hear from the fans. Our fan question is sponsored by MetalArk, retirement away to Manhattan, where you can live your way every day. Our fan question this week is, another week, another big Monday road game from the Jayhawks. Of course, they're going to Tech on Monday. Is this good or bad for KU? That's from Al in Topeka.
Al, it is bad on so many fronts for KU. First of all, it's a road game. Those haven't gone well for KU. Short rest isn't great. And it's a long flight for KU from Lawrence on Sunday, a day after Dewan Harris rolled his ankle, and a day after Kevin McCullough could barely walk because of a bone bruise. Not great, if you ask me.
Yeah, the one thing this KU team couldn't afford are these kind of lingering injuries. Well, certainly season-ending injuries would be worse, but these can haunt you, and they've avoided them up until now.
Yeah, they have. Well, remember to ask us your questions on our Facebook page and on Twitter at TheDrive13. When we return, we will look at our predictions here on The Drive.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome back to The Drive, fueled by BriggsAuto.com.
It is time to head down the home stretch of this week's show, and Michael, we need to get this wrapped up so we can go watch football.
Ooh.
Now let's take a look at our predictions. The predictions are brought to you by Kite. Meeting your friends at Kite since 1954. Remember to make your weekly predictions on our Twitter page, at TheDrive13. Here are last week's results. The viewers went 1-2. I went 2-1. Michael went 1-2. This season's been so bad for all of us. 2-1 looks like a giant victory. Look at that.
That was terrible.
For a guy who has given up sports betting because he stinks, I do a good job when I don't really put much thought into it. And now let's get started with this week's picks. And we start with an interesting game next Saturday, Texas Tech at Iowa State. We've got Iowa State as a 3.5-point favorite. Michael, you say?
I'll take Iowa State, man. They're playing so well right now, and that game's at home, too, for them. So I'll rock with the Clones.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Tech to cover. I don't think they'll win. I think it's going to be a great game.
All right, next up is TCU at K-State. That is also next weekend. We got his pick 'em. I'm going to take the Horned Frogs because I think when they play well, they are really good, and I think they'll play well.
Both of these teams have an identity crisis. TCU's got a really high upside. Then they could be really bad. K-State, I'm going to stick K-State. They got to win it. I think they'll win it. Our last game of the week is Kansas at Oklahoma. We put this as a pick 'em too, just because that makes it easy for all of us old people. Michael.
Yeah, I like the fact that K does get the extra rest, right, between a Monday, Saturday for this road game. So I'll rock with KU here, but I think it's going to be a close one.
Yeah, I don't feel good about this. I'm going to take KU. I don't trust Oklahoma to win that one at all. Again, make your picks on our Twitter page, at TheDrive13. It's now time for our On the Clock segment. Strangely, we have time for it.
Ooh.
I don't know what happened. On the Clock is sponsored by Carpet One. Buy local for a strong local community. And we start with Michael Swain of Fog.net.
Fitz, I like to talk about Travis Goff and the work he's done at Kansas, because I think it's been a lot of different things have happened over the last 18 months, and I think we're now getting close to the time where I think it's almost the end of year three for Travis Goff here, and a new contract should be head his way pretty soon. You think about keeping Lance Leipold back-to-back off seasons, generating enough fundraising for the football program to get the entire locker room and weight room redone in an expedited fashion so players last year could see it. Now they're building a new stadium, something that past administrations couldn't even get close to sniffing. And then you, of course, had the Allen Fieldhouse renovations, another Bill Self contract added in there as well. And then there's also the non-revenue sports fits, which obviously we don't get the chance to cover as much here, but you look at women's golf for KU doing really well. Swimming got a new locker room. Like, there's a lot of extra work being put into those non-revenue sports by Travis Goff. I think he's been a fantastic athletic director for KU. And I'm sure a raise and a new contract will be headed his way, at least within the next year, you have to think.
Man, the arms race in this conference is hard to keep up, but they're doing it. Both schools are. Hey, I want to talk about the Super Bowl. Oops, excuse me, the big game. Even though we haven't seen it yet, but how cool is it that the two starting quarterbacks are Big 12 quarterbacks and not from the big institutions that everyone says it's the entire conference? I was so fired up as a Chiefs fan when the Chiefs traded up to get Patrick Mahomes. I knew he'd be good. No one knew he'd be this good. And on the other side, Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft. So not much was expected of Brock Purdy. And yet here he is. He's had an outstanding season. He's led the 49ers to this big game. And I tell you what, I think the Chiefs win. I don't know how it'll turn out, but this is pretty cool. This game is one giant advertisement for what the Big 12 is about. It's quality football, even if you don't think schools like Iowa State and Texas Tech can play it. That's it for this week's edition of The Drive. We'll see you next week right here and all week on social media.
now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.